Hello, my name is Thomas. I'm one of the pastors in Grace Point. If you're new today, we are finishing this series of 1 Corinthians tonight. And it's been a great, interesting series regarding the church. What is church? What is the purpose of church? And tonight we're looking at spiritual gifts in the church. Before I continue, let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, as we continue with this series of 1 Corinthians, I pray for tonight, as we hear your words, these be hot, be sticky. I pray that we can concentrate and listen to what you have to say to us. So I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. My kids love to receive gifts, especially toys. My son, who's almost 6, he still loves this Thomas. I'm trying to put Transformers in, let him watch Transformers, play Lego, but no, he still loves this Thomas. I mean, who doesn't love this? I mean, I like this, especially when it's Chinese New Year's, when the red packet comes along, which I don't get much these days because I'm married. But there are gifts that my children will receive. They don't like it. I mean, I still remember my mother, the grandmother, went to Hong Kong. And my mum just bought a lot of clothes for my daughter. I mean, it's more than 10 pieces of clothes. I don't know how many clothes that she bought, dresses, shirts, shorts, whatever. And out of how many that she received that my daughter had, she only wanted to wear one of them. And the one that she chose was a pinky one. You see, gifts are gifts. We don't know what we're getting until you open it. Happy or not, it's still a gift for you. But you have a choice to use it or not. And tonight we read the spiritual gifts are also given to us. And that's in chapter 12. And the question is, do you use it? Do you use your spiritual gift? I'm covering 2 points tonight. The first 2 points is from chapter 12. And the first point we'll discuss the topic. It's not about disunity, but having unity. And then the second point from chapter 12 is about having unity, yet also diversity of gifts. And the third point is from chapter 13, which was read out to us by Nathan. It's to use that gift to serve and love. So let's start with chapter 12. In the first couple of verses, we see Paul explains the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he goes to explain that the Spirit gives our gifts for the common good in verse 4 to 7. He has the same purpose to build up, to grow others. And once again, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit points back to Jesus. And the gift of each person is not better than the other person's. It's all determined by the Spirit. And each gift is to be used for the common good, for the church, for the family. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10, we can see a simple list of gifts, which are ones of the gifts of the Spirit. And from this, we are able to see that the spiritual gift should be used for building up the church. And more importantly, it's all given by the grace of God. So our gifts that we have received, which could be playing music, community group leading, welcoming, doing the OHP in the south, or throwing the rubbish after church dinner. It's gift by the Spirit. This is to serve one another. It's to serve the church. It's to grow each other as a church, as we worship the Father. It's used to build up each other as a unity. And we can see other letters like Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8, and the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 13, more about the gifts. From the book of Romans, some examples of spiritual gifts are prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, and serving and giving generously. In Ephesians chapter 4, you read that some spiritual gifts are being prophets, evangelizing, being a pastor or a teacher, to equip others to build the body of the church. But in both of these passages, they remind us it's by God's grace that we all have a gift, which is given to us. But how can a church be built up as one body? We all need to focus and see the importance of unity. Being the head over all things, being the head over the church. Because we must remember, it's through Jesus that we are really bound together at the end. And some people like, I love these people. People like Jennifer, Joey, not in the Adam. It's through Christ, what Christ has done for us on the cross. So our focus should always, always be on Jesus Christ. He unites us all into our community of God's people within the church. And the next point I want to talk about is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 27, which is about unity, but also having diversity, rarity of gifts. You might be asking, just wait, didn't we just talk about unity here? But then why would we have diversity? Yes, we have to talk about unity because of Jesus. So we are united. But with that, we all have a different gift. Each gift which is given to each person is enabled the church to function, to operate effectively in church as one body. And with this, we see the importance of coming to church together as Christians, as a family, with all our different gifts, so that we can do life together and to worship and praise God together. And we serve each other as a Christian community of believers. So we need to see, no, one is greater or above another person. No one is better than the person on the left, on the right, in the front or behind you. There's no hierarchy. There's no one who's lower than the others. And all are important to the work of the Spirit. Because we need to remember that was the downfall of the Corinthian church. As Paul had raised this up earlier in chapter 1, chapter 2, with these letters, the Corinthian church members were very proud, thinking too highly of others and dividing people within the church. There were some who were thinking they were super disciples, the people should follow, and created friction, created division between the church. I know a lot of you guys love playing your sports on the weeknights, from soccer to Oztag to basketball. And how do you know you're in a team? How do you know that you're in a team? Because you wear the same singlet in your jersey. So let me talk about the game of basketball, because I know most of you guys do play or love that fantasy basketball by coaching. And in basketball, there's five people on the court at any given time, and just to make a team. And as a team, you're united and help each other to score points by passing the ball to each other. So you can screen off each other to free a player to make people to score easier. And each team player focus is to play as one team. You're united as a team. So you help each other to score. You help each other in defense. And within a basketball team, there are different roles for each team member. I mean, you've got the center, who's the tallest guy, who's probably there to block shots, to rebound. And then you've got the guards are very small, but very fast. They're the one who holds the ball, and then throw the ball, pass the ball, and hopefully makes the other teams, when they're driving, this makes a harder team to defend. But they all have different roles, and each position is very important. And this goes for soccer, or Oztag, or footy. There are players which are good defending, and others are good in attacking. And of course, there are also playmakers. All have different roles to play in the game. I mean, this is also the same for business or a company. People have different skills and knowledge. For example, in a bank, there's a marketing team, there's an IT division, there's a home loan department, and then there's an audit group. And don't forget, there's a legal team that we love. All the team are to help and support the company to make a profit and to keep the shareholders happy, because they're always making profits. I think we got the idea of the importance of working together as a team. And there's no different for a church. There's no different for a church. We need to work together as one with our spiritual gift, which is given to us. But we need to remember in verse 1 to 11, we are united in Christ. Although we are united in Christ, as we come to church, we are also have different gifts to serve the church. But yet we are still on the same team. United, but also united, but also diverse. But what happens? What happens if we have a spiritual gift, but we feel we are not needed? Or maybe we feel that our gift is not that important. Or worse, we can't be bothered using our gifts to serve others. Let's have a look at chapter 19, Luke chapter 19. Do you remember the story of the 10 minas? This is a parable which Jesus taught. Let me do a quick recap of it. Basically, it was a nobleman went away to get appointed to as a king. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them each 10 minas. What did each servant do with it? Or someone just hated him and didn't want him to be their king. But anyway, he was made king. And as he returned to the 10 servants to find out what gains they had in verse 15. So we see four outcomes here. One servant had earned the master 10 more minas, and the master was happy with him and gave him 10 cities to be in charge. And then the next person had earned 5 more minas, and he was given 5 cities to be in charge. But one servant had kept his one means hidden away with a piece of cloth. In verse 21, he replied that he was afraid of the master, as he said his master was a hard man. And we can really tell this servant didn't really know his master that well, because what he did, which is nothing, he did nothing with his means. And what happened next in verse 22? The master replied, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking out what I did not put in, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on a deposit, so that when I came back, I could collect it with interest?" Basically, the master is left empty-handed and had no interest from his investment. The servant was lazy. couldn't be bothered to use what he was given, and the master wasn't impressed at all. And then there was the fourth kind of servant, who didn't want the nobleman to be the king. And at the end, the result was they were to be destroyed. So, what does this all mean about the servant means? Basically, it means the coins which are given to the servant are in fact spiritual gifts, which are given to Christians. And the parable explains how each servant will use it or not use it. And this is the same for Christians who are given gifts from the Spirit, which is to be used for the church. So all gifts are useful and are needed for the church, for the family. And with this parable, it's a great warning for all of us as Christians today. Don't get me wrong, I'm not here to put you in guilt. But we also can't be lazy as God's people. We can't be lazy and be serious about it. But to use our gifts, which has been provided for us. And it's not for our glory, but it's for God's church, and His name can be glorified for all to see. But with this understanding, let me go to my final point of tonight's sermon, which was read out, chapter 13. And this is the most important point in tonight's sermon. Yes, spiritual gifts are absolutely essential, extremely critical for every church, as we can worship God together. But by saying this, all the gifts and the talents that the church has, all the skills that a person has, that all the training a person can get, that person doesn't act in love, unconditional love, a servant love for others, it means zero. It means nothing. Basically, if a church has all the gifts that we can imagine, but without love, it doesn't mean anything in the eyes of the Lord. It doesn't mean anything. There's no warmth, no heart in it. It's more like a robot. And our pray doesn't happen to go for people in service, ever. I pray that people who visit and come to the church for the first time don't never feel that way. That we're a bunch of robots with no love. So what are the warning signs, you might say, as regular as Grace Point for 4 p.m. service? What things do you need to rethink in your life? Do you serve ministry with a grudge? Because that's not loving. That's a serving resentment and bitterness. Do you serve because it's the thing to do, because you've been told to? Because that's not loving too. You should become a robot, or even worse, a Pharisee. Or do you serve because it makes you feel proud of your efforts, because no one is doing that ministry? That's not loving. In fact, that's called loving yourself, or giving yourself a pat on the back, a praise, praising yourself. And this is not what Paul is talking about. The way to use your gift is through love. You use your gifts to serve others in love. Unconditional love. Sacrificial love for others. And with these, Paul tells us, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easy angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoice in the truth. He always protects, always trusts, always hope, always perseveres. So let's say Andrew Park, he serves with Jess as a husband to change the light bulb around the house. But he changes the light bulb to look good so he can flex his muscles, his pecs. Or he does it with resentment and bitterness because it wastes his time. The way he served is not loving for Jess. And his service doesn't go far because at the end, he wants something back. He serves with a condition. I want something back from Jess after I change the light bulb. And he serves with this attitude. Jess, I have something for you. But when Andrew serves Jess unconditionally, he thinks what's the best of to her. He changed the light bulb so Jess can see where she is going in the middle of the night. So she doesn't hurt herself. He changes the light bulb because he loves her. He cares for her. So when we serve the church, we need to serve without bitterness or resentment. And we serve with our gifts because we love God's people. We serve because we love God's church. We serve with our gifts because we love Christ. And we need to have a view of what 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 11 says. It really hammers home the point that diversity doesn't mean it will threaten unity. So what else can we take from tonight's passage? I'm very sure that all Christians have received at least one gift from the Spirit. This is in verse 7. And the gift is the common good for God's people in the church. But by saying that, does that mean you only receive one gift? Is it possible to receive more than one gift? And the answer is yes. It's possible for the Spirit to do that. We can have more than one gift. So we can say, that means that there's a gift that we don't have right now in the 4 p.m. It means it's possible. It will be given to us in the future one day. But there are factors to consider when studying the ministry. For example, we should consider the following questions. Does the ministry help grow God's church and its people at Grace Point? Do I have the right person who has a spiritual gift in this area to run it, to lead it? Does the ministry fit in with where Grace Point is heading as a whole family, as a church? And I'm not just talking about Bill at 4 p.m. service. We need to look at the wider Grace Point because we do have other services. And this also means that some ministry where we might be serving now, but we might not serve in the next 5 years. So I'll give you a great example. Bill Christmas and Bill Easter Fair. Some of you guys have been long enough here that we used to do that as a church. Running something for the people in the local Bill Church Council. It was great. It was a part of the local community. But we stopped being involved in the Bellwood Fairs. And some people have asked questions, why? Why have we stopped? And we have done more for more than a couple of years. And in the end, it was really one person was running it. He wrote the script, he rode the donkey, he paid Jesus on that day. And he was asking for helpers. Not many people were interested in it. Or people had other commitments on that day. In fact, I didn't even think many people showed up on that day from Grace Point. So we decided not to continue with it. I'm not saying it was a bad thing to do. So ministry will come and go depending on the gifts of the people in the church and what the Spirit gives to the church. But by saying that, we do have other ministry which people are gifted right now. Like the Mercy Ministry, the Operation Christmas Box, which you will hear at church dinner too tonight, as Ivan and his team is going to do something with it. Share some thoughts about it. We've got people which serve the weak, spiritual weak, I mean. Are people who serve here in Extreme, which is our Grace Point Youth Group. People who serve in Sunday school. We've got gifted people in the women's ministry team. And then this year we kicked off the men's ministry team. And at the end of the year, there's a team going to a short-term mission to Thailand to use the gift to help and teach children in that country. And tonight, we hear Laurie and Sienna about what they're doing in this nation, that the gifts that they have been given. And as a church, how are we to punish it with them? And these are some ministry and gifts which I just have mentioned, right? And some of you guys could be thinking, what is my gift? How do I know it's my gift? It is a gift. And I don't think you need to look too far. Yes, you can ask people about it. What you're good at. You can read your books about spiritual gift or doing a survey about it. Using your gift doesn't have to be a formal ministry. It could be informal. It's basically what you do in church. Is encouraging people. It's serving others that helps people worship God better. It's what you do to build up the church. Helping the needs of a newcomer who comes in the church. Walking with them. On your day-to-day walk with a brother and sister in church. Meeting up with them, having a coffee. Or gathering at university. These are all encouragement, and these are all gifts. These are all gifts by the Spirit, and all we need it. As I ask the music team to come up, I do want people coming out into my sermon to continue using your gifts. I do encourage that. To remain praying and searching in your heart, wanting to try new ministries at the Lord for people. Serving in different areas of ministry for God's church, God's people, and for God's family. But with all this, we are to love one another. Because we are reminded the greatest command is love. And the greatest love is shown to us is from God. Through his Son, Jesus.